This is your morning Buzzcast for Friday, April 5th. Good morning. I'm Abe Madcor. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. What a big weekend coming up. So many fun storylines going into the Final Four weekend. It starts on Friday night with two women's games from Cleveland. And yes, the bandwagon for women's hoops filling up. I had just been on Squawk Box talking about the interest around women's sports. They asked me for my pick for the Final Four. I said no pick, but people should watch because it's going to be historic on Friday night and hopefully on Sunday. I'm bringing in Reggie Walker. Reggie, men's and women's, what are you looking for this weekend?
I think we're going to have six games between the two Final Fours that are going to be really, really good. But let's start here. On the women's side, the star power you're talking about. Caitlin Clark, you're talking about Dawn Staley, Paige Beckers, Gino Auriemma. So much star power in this Final Four. I think it's going to be spectacular on that side of things. And then the men's side, and Abe, this is something that's going to be interesting moving forward. Big men kind of returning in men's college basketball. You got Donovan Clingan, you got Zach Edey, you got DJ Burns, who's become this mega sort of star, America's favorite right now. It's really, really interesting to watch.
It's a great point, especially on the what you mentioned about Gino and Dawn. Sometimes they get overlooked, but boy, what star power on the benches. I have had more people reach out with their predictions on viewership for the women's Final Four. SBJ's Austin Karp believes if UConn, Iowa is close on Friday night, it's going to be on par with the more than 12 million that watched on Monday night. He warns that Friday night is, of course, a low TV night or a low night for television viewership. I still think it's going to be north of 12 million for Friday night. What do you think? Are you taking the over? And if there is an Iowa-South Carolina final on Sunday, watch out. We could get a number north of 16 million viewers on ABC. Everything is lining up so well for the women's tournament particularly, and it's really historic to see viewership gains for the women's tournament, over 100% from last year. I mean, Cleveland is going to have a wild atmosphere. And you hit on it too, Reggie. Think how special this is for NC State and UConn to have both programs in the Final Four. So these are some rare days indeed. And we're going to see more and more business around women's sports. And here is an example. Prime Video and the WNBA announced Friday morning they have extended their media rights deal for two more years. And so, of course, Prime Video trying to continue to draft off the interest in the WNBA. And this continues the partnership that started in 2021. And again, Prime really looking to benefit from the increased interest in women's basketball and, of course, a pretty historic draft coming up for the WNBA in a few months. Well, let's move on. The Oakland A's, they have a temporary home. They will play in Sacramento for at least three seasons beginning next year, and they'll play at the home of the San Francisco Giants, AAA affiliate, in Sacramento. So that's after the A's lease at the Coliseum expires at the end of this season. They'll play at Sutter Health Park. That is the home of the Sacramento River Cats. And, of course, the A's hope to be in Vegas by 2028. That deal still has to be formally wrapped up and completed. Now, Sutter Health Park has a capacity of just over 14,000. And so any agreement for the A's to play in a minor league facility would need to be approved by the players and the Players Association. And they would have to get the facility updated to MLB standards. That includes clubhouses and weight rooms and field conditions. And one complication for the A's in leaving Oakland is their television deal with NBC Sports Bay Area reportedly pays the team about $67 million a year. In order to get that revenue, they have to be in the market. So moving to Sacramento may allow the A's to keep at least a portion of that media revenue. So that's an element to watch. Also, the A's will drop Oakland. They will not be called the Oakland A's. They will call themselves only the A's with no city attached during their time in Sacramento. But it does look like the A's have a temporary home before their planned and hoped for move to Las Vegas. while more sports are coming to Saudi Arabia, and Riyadh will host the WTA finals starting this year and running through 2026. Now, we've talked about this for a while. This move got announced on Thursday. As a result of the move, the prize money will increase to a record $15 million. That's up from $9 million last year. So you're seeing a significant increase in prize money for the players. That is certainly the key carrot to have this event moved. And that prize money now is in line with the men's ATP Finals prize money. And that is a huge element for the WTA. Prize money will also increase in 25 and 26. So again, money does make a difference, and money was an overriding factor in this move. And this just continues Saudi Arabia's push into sports. It's their second major deal around tennis in just the last few months. As remember, Saudi Arabia's public investment fund and the ATP agreed to a five-year marketing partnership just a few months ago. So tennis is just the latest sport after a series of investments in soccer and golf and combat sports. We know all about this. Now, there had been opposition to this move by the WTA. Martina Navratilova, Chris Evert, other players have been outspoken against any deal in Saudi Arabia. But in the end, the WTA felt comfortable enough, and there is a belief that the WTA saw this as an opportunity it could not turn down. And that translates to, yes, the money was too good to say no to. You know, we've talked a little bit about Matt Ishbia's ownership of the Phoenix Suns and the Mercury, and you really have to admire what Ishbia is doing around his teams and for his teams. The latest example came Thursday. He cut the ribbon on a new downtown headquarters that's for the Suns, the Mercury, their G League franchise. It's a 76,000 square foot office complex that was converted from a Coors distribution warehouse into a cool open space campus, and it was built in just 9 months. And this is the first phase of a $100 million entertainment development surrounding the Suns Footprint Center that's right in downtown Phoenix. You have to check out the photos. It looks great. It has a staff fitness center, indoor-outdoor basketball courts, an outdoor pickleball court, putting greens, a golf simulator room, and yes, grab-and-go pantries with food and beverages. So a significant investment in the organization by Matt Ishbia, and this is around people and culture, something all organizations believe in, but he is really stressing that as he has taken over ownership of the Suns, Mercury, and the G League franchise in Phoenix. And on Wednesday night, I know a couple of you asked about this, but it was a great night as nearly 300 leaders from the Orlando sports community joined at Kia Center to celebrate Orlando topping SBJ's list of best sports business cities for event hosting. We had a pre-event reception at the Kia Center. They had mascots, they had trophies, they had uniforms. We also had a great panel with the likes of Alex Martins from the Magic, Jared Dillon from Orlando City. You had Terry Mahajer, who was the athletic director at UCF, and you had Jason Siegel, who runs the Greater Orlando Sports Commission. And you had Gus Malzahn there, you had Johnny Dawkins there, and other members of the Magic, Orlando City, and Orlando sports community. And even the mayor, Buddy Dyer, who is an incredible advocate of sports in that market, he was there. He capped the evening with a champagne toast at the Sky Lounge, which overlooks downtown Orlando. So it was a nice evening that really showcased the sports leadership in the Orlando market. And there is a lot going on in that market with events and facility development and facility improvements. So certainly a market to keep your eye on. And finally, I hate to end the Buzzcast on this sad note, but I did want to say how terrible we all feel here at SBJ for the family of Michael Tucciani, the well-known senior vice president of partnerships for the New York Yankees, a longtime sports business executive, very well liked. Tucciani's wife, Kathy, was killed when a tree fell on her car in Westchester County on Wednesday. Terrible news. Kathy Tucciani was only 50. They have two daughters. A celebration of life honoring Kathy Tucciani will be held this Sunday afternoon at Westchester Country Club. Tuce, We are all thinking of you and your girls during this awful, awful time. So be thinking of Michael Tucciani and his family. And so that is your Morning Buzzcast for Friday, April 5th. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Enjoy the Final Four weekend. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. I'll speak to you on Monday.